Does it get better than Perek Mem? Right? No, it's a beautiful Perek. Such a beautiful Perek. Right. You don't know like whether to learn it or to sing it. Okay. There's one thing in one piece in Perek Mem that does not seem to fit. It makes sense on its own, but doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything. Much nothing to do with anything. You look at the, and I asked you to look at the different topics that are discussed in Perek Mem, and well, let me start with this. If I were to ask you, what is the basic topic of Perek Mem? What is the main thing it talks about, the central idea? One word. What's the first word that comes to mind? Talk about Perek Mem. Okay. Okay, you're right. That's too broad. What? Okay, Nechama. Okay. Talks about, right, it's the Perek of Nechama, it's the Perek of Geula, right? Correct? Yes. And we understand in that context many of the things that it talks about. The basic idea, the way that Geula is formulated here, by the way, is very interesting. I just want to comment on it for a second. Pasuk Gimel. We'll start with Pasuk Gimel. Kol Korei Bamidbar, Panu Derech Adonai, Yashru Ba'arava, Misila Leluhenu. It talks about clearing a path, clearing a road of God. Kol Gei Yinasei, V'chol Har, V'giv'a Yishpalu, V'aya Ha'akov L'mishor, V'archasim L'vika. V'nigla Kivod Adonai, V'ru Kol Basar Yachtav, Kipi Adonai Diber. Basically, what it talks about in one simple picture is the transformation from this to this. Right? That's a good summary of those psukim. Right? There are two different ways that you can look at this. One is to look at this as a kind of a cross-section, and the other is looking at it as a kind of a bird's eye view. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Either ups and downs, right? Mountains and valleys, or a bird's eye view of a road with twists and turns in it. And there's a picture of, and it's not a good one, but it's supposed to be a straight line. Anyhow, the point is, Vayahe Akov, right? Akov, that which is twisted, Lemishor, become straight. You know, Kol Geyinase, Bechol. That which is too high will be lowered, that which is too low will be raised up. Meaning that in our world, there are people and there are nations that are too powerful and that are oppressive and that harm and that oppress and destroy. And there are those that are downtrodden, people and nations that are downtrodden and oppressed. And there are those that need to be brought up, right? And there are those that need to be brought down. And that's Geula, right? That's what's being described here now, right? So, this is an introduction to the whole topic of Geula, and the Perek deals with Geula very nice, and it talks about all these things that fit beautifully with that, except for one topic that seems to come. Like, what does it have to do with that? I understand it has to do with Yishayahu, and stamp belongs, but like, why is it here in Perek Mem? And that is the issue of Avodah Zarah. Right? Avodah Zarah. In the midst of this beautiful description of Hashem's Geula of the world, of Am Yisrael, in the midst of all of this, you have a number of psukim that talks about the foolishness of the person, you know, the pagan who's creating this idol. Right? Talks about the idea in Pasuk Yutet and Chaf, where it talks about Hapesel Nasach Harash V'Tzoreh B'Zahav Yurkenu, where to call Kesef Tzoreh Hamzukan Truma Eitzel Yurkav Yuchar Harash Hacham Yivakishol Elchim Petzel Imot. It talks about it, you know, Yishayahu, as he often does, is laughing at the pagan, and he's saying, yeah, this guy goes and he makes sure that he gets quality wood. He wouldn't want it to get rotted or anything. He makes sure that he has a good craftsman. You wouldn't want your god to
to fall over, or you know, and you get ruined or something. And obviously, he's making fun of the fact, like, you know, here this is supposed to be your guy, and you're worried about whether it's wood is going to get warped, or whether the, you know, the aisle is going to tip over, or you know, make sure you do it right, otherwise, you know, who knows what can happen to your God. So he's laughing at this whole idea of Avodah Zarah. Very nice. But what's it doing in the middle of the Parag Mem? What does it have to do with anything? You understand that quite right? I mean, I think it's glaring when you read the Parag, isn't it? Were you disturbed by this when you read the Parag? These psukim are doing here? No?
Yeah.
Okay, see a bunch of people. I'm not the only one. Huh. Okay, good. Feel much better. So I'd like to try to give you a perspective on it. But before we get a perspective on it, it's a very simple idea that I want to share with you, mamash, and then I'm going to move on to something else. Very simple idea, but I believe it's so important and so powerful. I really think it's just like it's a tremendously important idea for us. Before we do that, I have a preliminary question. The beginning of Perek Mem, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elohechem. Dabru Alei B'Yushalayim B'Kiru Elea, Ki Mal'ah Tzva'a, Ki Nirtza Abona, Ki Lakha Mi'ad Adonai, Ki Flayim B'Chol Chatoteha. Right? Beautiful, beautiful psukim. Question, simple question. Who is God speaking to? Who is Hashem speaking to in these opening psukim? Okay. Anyone have a different answer? I can pick on Tikva because we're old friends, right? It's okay, that's the standard answer. Who is Hashem speaking to in the opening psukim? That first little paragraph, Pasuk Aleph and Bet, who's Hashem speaking to? Because if you don't know this, then you're not going to understand anything in the parak. Who's Hashem speaking to?
Well, it's not the Bnei Israel and thing.
Okay, we're 0 for 2. What?
Navi.
Excellent. He's speaking to the Navi or to the Nevi'im. Okay? He's speaking to Yishayahu or to the Nevi'im in general. He's not speaking to Yushalayim, which is often given as the answer. He's not speaking to Bnei Israel, which is often given as the answer. Or anyone else, he's speaking to the Nevi'im. Why do I say that? What does the word Nachamu mean? Doesn't mean be consoled, right? Nachamu does not mean be consoled. What does it mean? It means console, give consolation to, right? Give Nechama to. It doesn't mean you should receive Nechama. It means you should give Nechama. Okay? You look at the next pasuk, which is parallel to the first. Dabru Alev Yushalayim. Okay, so Lana's right. It's not speaking to Shalayim, it's not speaking to Ami, it's instructing others, meaning the Nevi'im, such as Yishayahu, to speak to and comfort and reassure and console Yushalayim and Bnei Israel. The message is ultimately going to be for Bnei Israel, for Yushalayim, etc. But that's not who's addressed in the opening psukim. Okay, everyone see it? Right, it's very, very important. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Lekechem. Dabru Alev Yushalayim. What does it mean, Dabru Alev? What does Dabru Alev mean? Speak on their heart. What does that mean?
Doesn't it mean speak to someone, like to speak on their heart?
Doesn't it mean intimately to that?
Intimately to that.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe you can find me a source that I'm not sure. I don't know. I think that the simplest meaning, it's parallel again to Nachamu, Dabru Alev, it's a very important idea here. Dabru Alev Yushalayim means that you should speak to them in a way that it's going to have an impact emotionally, meaning that it's going to be, right, that's going to resonate, that it's going to be, that they're going to be comforted. In other words, what I'm getting at is that Yishayahu here is not being told to just convey information, facts, you know, to, you know, this is not, the Navi is told not to just speak to their minds, but to speak to their hearts, right? And Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, right? Comfort them. Make them feel better. Present it in a way that they won't merely know that there's going to be a Geula, but that it's really going to have an impact on them. Remember, you know, Yishayahu has been talking a lot about Churban, and if he's going to talk about Geula, it has to, you know, it's going to be especially this is going to be for after the Churban, even though it's said much earlier. But it has to be said in a way that we can understand it. And if Yeshayahu was talking to us, it has to be a way we can understand it. My point is that we have to understand that the way Yeshayahu presents his message in Parak Mem is not meant just to inform, but it's meant to have a real impact. It's meant to really, you know, to have an effect on us. Beseder? And that's very critical for understanding the answer to the question that I raised before, which is, what is this whole thing about Avodah Zarah in the middle? So I want to ask you a question. A person goes and builds an idol. Okay? Builds an idol. He takes whatever materials he takes, and he builds an idol of, let's say, this, you know, this big, strong guy with lots of muscles and, you know, and a beard and whatever, and fancy clothing, and he calls him, let's say, Zeus. This is an example, right? And then he bows down to this idol and does whatever else he does. What is the starting point? What is the starting point of the problem of Avodah Zarah for this person? Where does it start? Where does the problem begin? What's the root of the problem? Okay, when he made it. Okay. Any other answers? No question, that's part of the process. But I would argue that there's an earlier stage. What's the earlier stage? What's the beginning stage? Okay, good. Can you explain that? Explain what you mean by that.
Well, before he even made the idol, he had to have an idea to make it, and that idea must come from somewhere.
Okay. So I'm going to just build on what you just said. I think it's very good. And, you know, all of this is true, but I think we can add maybe even a little more. The fact that he took this material and made an image of God, right, as far as he's concerned, made an image of God looking like this, you know, like this weightlifter or whatever, that is only part, that's a later stage of the chet, right? It really starts with the fact that prior to even getting the materials or deciding that he's going to build the statue or whatever it is, build the idol, what happens even earlier?
He has an image of God.
Exactly. The fact that that's how he pictured God, that's really the root of the problem. The root of the problem is not when he builds the idol. That's a symptom. But the root of the disease is that that's how he pictured God in the first place. They pictured God as being a big, strong guy. Right? That's really the root of the problem. And even if he never built an idol, let alone bowed down to it, let alone brought sacrifice or whatever, but his conception of God is a pagan conception of God. Correct? And if we understand that, we can understand what Yeshayahu is saying here. Let's look at what Yeshayahu says here. Yeshayahu says, remember, Yeshayahu is charged with, his mandate is Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. His mandate is Dabru, Alev, Yerushalayim. Okay? Now watch what he does. He goes to them and he says like this. Hashem is going to do what? He's going to straighten out this world. He's going to take the mighty, those giants, those mountains that are too big, and squash them down. He's going to pick up those that are downtrodden and pull them up. All that's crooked in this world, and so much is crooked in this world, will be straightened out. Vayah ha'kov l'mishor. And then he describes, beautiful, right? Description of the Geula in terms of Yerushalayim, Al Har Gavoa, Alilach, Mivaser Tzion, Harim Vakoa Kolech, Mivaser Yerushalayim, Harimi Al Tirai, Imri La Re Yudai, Hine Elohechem, Hine Adonai B'chazak Yavo, Uzra'o Moshallo, Hine Scharo Yitofu La Tolofanav. It describes, he's going to gather his flock, right? Kiroa Edro. Beautiful description of a shepherd taking care of the flock, gathering together all those who need help. And watch how it continues. Watch how it continues. Before we even get to the continuation, what's the natural reaction? We read about, we learn about, we hear about the nevuot about the geula, right, about acharit hayamim, and they're beautiful and they're moshech and they're, you know, and they're filled with, you know, hope and light. But what's the reaction? What's the natural reaction a person has? But look at what the world is like, and look at the world as it is meant to be in a redeemed state, and the gap, right? The distance is so vast. Look at what the world is like. Look at what the world is like, whether on an individual level or on a national level. It's like there is so much corruption, there's so much wrong, there's so much evil, there's so much that needs to be corrected. So many mountains, so many valleys, so many crooked roads. And all this is going to be like, you know, overnight it's all going to be straightened out. How is that? How is that possible? It's mind-boggling, literally mind-boggling. How we can't grasp it. We can't get our minds around the idea. Isn't that often the reaction? And therefore, remember, Yeshayahu is charged not merely to inform, but to convince, to persuade, to comfort, right? Dabru alei Yerushalayim. It's not enough to tell us, here's a list of what's going to happen. That's not his job. His job is much bigger than that. So he continues. Let's watch how he continues. Pasuk Yud Bet. Mimadad b'shalomayim b'shamayim b'zeretikein v'chol b'shalish afar ha'aretz b'shikel b'shakal b'pelas harim uva'ot mozayim. And what I focus on the next couple of psukim, in the next pasuk in particular, hein goyim. What are goyim? Let's translate goyim.
Nations,
right? Exactly. Hein goyim. Listen carefully. Pasuk tetvav. Hein goyim kimar midli ukishachak maznayim nechshavu. And so Yeshayahu says to us, we don't understand. If we're talking about Hashem, then you have to understand that entire nations are like when you have a bucket of water, and there are different ways of understanding it. Either there's a little bit of rust and you just like clean up, you know, there's a few specks, or there's a drop that comes out of the bucket. Kishachak mazayim, you have like these scales, and you have, and again, there's some ways you can understand it, but shachak l'shod, like rub off, mazayim are these kind of balancing scales, right? So it's talking about like either that, you know, like you have things that are basically balanced, but there are a couple of grains you take off, or the rust that collects and you just like scrape back. We're talking about something insignificant, right? Saying the adjustments that we're talking about, nations being lifted up and pushed down, things that are crooked being straightened out, you have to understand, you know, from a human perspective, these nations look huge. These powerful people look like giants. Kings and presidents and prime ministers and, you know, and evil nations and, you know, and corruption, that's huge. You ever see these pictures of, like, you know, the moonshots where you see as they pull away from the earth and the earth looks, you know, small and small, so you can, like, barely see it. And along the way, you know, like, you see the nations, you see these different kinds of... I can't even find Iran anymore, you know, let alone be worried about, you know, whether they're building a bomb or not. And, you know, and what's going on with, you know, England, the fact that they, you know, want to boycott Israel. Where's England? No offense to anyone. So, any particular kind of... throwing out, you know, but and you go further, and like the whole planet Earth, it's just like it's just a speck, and then you can't even find the speck anymore, right? As you get, in other words, as you go from a human perspective, a very finite perspective, to a more godlike perspective, a perspective from the view of the infinite universe, these huge problems, these huge ups and downs and, you know, twists that need to be found, we're talking about such tiny tweaks that's nothing, right? And that's what Yeshayahu says now, right? Hein goyim kimar midli ukashach maznayim nechshavu. Hein iyim kadok itol uvanon inde ba'er b'chayto inde yola. Kol ha goyim, all of these nations that we're talking about, you know, adding here, subtracting there, fixing there. If it, you know, ka'ayin negdo, they're like nothing compared to God. Me'efes v'to nechshav lo. And where do we recognize the ideas of ayin and efes and tov from? Ayin, efes, tov. Where does this come from? It comes from the creation, right? From Bereishit, right? Where the world's created, yesh me'ayin, right? Where the world starts off as tov vavo. Meaning, if you're talking about God who created this entire universe, including all of these, you know, countries and continents, that so create me yesh me'ayin, create from nothing. Like you're talking about, like removing this, adding that, moving this over, moving that to the left, to the right, a little bit this way, a little bit that. This is nothing. This is nothing. You understand what I'm saying? This is the answer to our natural emotional reaction, our natural resistance to these promises of Gula, is to say, like, wow, it's so huge, it's so vast, it's so hard to imagine. Who can contemplate that, you know, like, that these problems will just poof? And Yeshayahu says, what are you talking about? That's from a human perspective. But from God's perspective, you're talking about such minor tweaks that, like, literally nothing. And if we don't understand that, and if we have the reaction that it's so vast and so big and so much, and who can even contemplate? What do you mean that, you know, Vaya Kov Mishra, I can't even imagine such a thing. What are we really doing? We're measuring God in human terms. We're really, it's because on some level we have a conception of God that's limited, that's finite, that's small, maybe big in human terms, but really small in the end of the day. And so how does it continue? Ve'el mi tedamyun el umad demut ta'archulo. Right? How can you compare God? How can you assign a demut, an image, a form to God? And what's the next pasuk? Ha'pesal nasa charash. And so on and so forth. Meaning, what is Yeshayahu saying? When we look at this pagan who's building an idol and making an image that he is calling God, and it's this big guy with some muscles, what's our reaction? Look at that idiot, right? What's he thinking? He's so stupid, right? He thinks that's what God... God's like this big guy with muscles? You think that God's just a big person who's a little stronger than average? That's what you think God is? Yeshayahu is saying, you're right, but we have to take that same point and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, yeah, we're not going out and building a statue, and we're not going to bow down to one, and you know, we're not going to go out and worship, you know, an idol. But one second, what is our image of God? Do we have an image of God? Are we projecting an image onto God and thereby viewing God as finite and limited? Or not? Because if we're viewing these nevuot of Geula as being so vast and so impossible in our minds, it's only because on some level, and it's natural, it's human, but on some level, we are viewing God in human terms. And that's why Yeshayahu rebuts that by saying, Vel mi tedamyun el umad mut archula, and saying that if we are, what we're really doing, it's really you know, basically the mistake of Avodah Zarah. It's not in as gross a way, it's not in as, you know, stark a way, it's not to the same extreme, it's the same basic mistake. And after talking about the Pesel, then what does he talk about? Right? And he talks again about God's infiniteness. And he talks about this idea once more. Okay, this idea once again. Pasuk Chapei repeats itself. Al mit damyuni v'ashaveh yomar kadosh. Who can you compare me to? Right? Su'u marom einechem. Look up to the heavens. Look at the universe. Uru mi bara ele. Hamotzi b'misvar tzva'am. L'chulam b'shem yikra. You look at this vast universe that God created and put into perspective what seems so large to us, right? Put into put into perspective what seems so large to us, that, you know, that the problems with this country and that country and this nation and that nation, this person and the other, that like there's such vast problems. From God's perspective, really? For God to change things and fix things, it's such a big deal. It's mamash zero. It's effort, it's nothing. Right? And that is the consolation. Right? That is the way that Yeshayahu explains to us how to take the information about Geula and turn it from mere information into a true consolation, to something that not just we can have in our minds, but we can bring into our hearts. And that's Dabru al Lev Yerushalayim. And that's why Avodah Zarah is discussed here. And if you understand this perspective, I think that mamash, every single pasuk flows one from the other. Everything fits together. We don't have a bunch of disjointed little topics that are discussed, but there's a very, very simple and powerful train of thought that runs throughout.